You're listening to Hofstra's Morning Wake-Up Call right here on 88.7 FM, WRHU, and worldwide on the web on WRHU.org. My name is Sam Little, now being joined by Les Landis to talk about what exactly does it need, what exactly do you need to do as an entrepreneur, as a business person, to make your employees enjoy the work environment. Les, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good, and thanks for the opportunity. You know, it's interesting you say what do we do to get employees to enjoy their work. I think that's really only part of it. You know, what people really want is inspiring work. They want interesting work. They want challenging work. It's not so much the enjoyment factor, although people get a hell of a lot of enjoyment from really being challenged in a way that that taps into the very best that they're capable of giving. And so what we talk about really is employee engagement, and in fact, that's actually the title of my new book, Getting to the Heart of Employee Engagement. And when we're looking at what employee engagement really means, we use a definition that actually was created by the Conference Board, which is a heightened emotional connection that employees feel for their organization that influences them to exert greater discretionary effort to their work. Now, that's a lot of words. But the bottom line is two main things: emotional connection. People need to feel emotionally connected to their organizations. If you really want to get that discretionary effort that everybody has every day in whatever work they do.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really the key. It's really about employee engagement more than employee enjoyment.
All right. And, you know, why is it that employee engagement, I guess, is the most important part? What exactly are the consequences if you don't have positive employee engagement?
Yeah, sure. Well, you know, first of all, it's pretty intuitive that people aren't going to put forth much extra effort beyond what's required of them if they're not treated, or if they're treated badly, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, but we're really talking about something more, and certainly what we're talking about in the book is how do you go beyond that, something bigger, beyond the basics. You know, there's a lot of studies and a lot of data out there that show the impact of a really engaged workforce on virtually every relevant business measure, whether you're talking about revenue or profitability or customer satisfaction and loyalty, you name it. Every study says a highly engaged workforce is going to get more of that. I'll give you one example on the negative side. There's Gallup puts out an annual poll that pretty consistently shows that only about 30% of employees in the U.S. are really fully engaged.
Mm-hmm.
And actively disengaged workers are costing U.S. companies more than $300 billion, that's with a B, dollars per year. So there's a clear bottom-line impact from low levels of employee engagement.
And your book talks to us about like the essential differences between human beings and other living creatures and how the differences between employee engagement and such. Why is it important to understand these differences between, you know, human beings and other living creatures, and how does it sort of tie itself back to employee engagement?
Yeah. So that really is the heart of the book. And frankly, the subtitle of the book gives you a pretty good clue, right? I mean,
yep.
The subtitle is, you know, well, the title is Getting to the Heart of Employee Engagement. The subtitle is The Power and Purpose of Imagination and Free Will in the Workplace.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to play a little game with you. When you hear this phrase, free as a, what do you think of?
Bird.
Free as a bird, right? Everybody gets that. Well, what are birds free to do?
They are free to fly. They're free to explore. And that's what I think of.
Yes. So in truth, they are free to do a darn thing. They are programmed to do what they do, whether they're flying or eating or birthing baby birds or
mm-hmm.
crapping on your car, I guess, is another one. But, you know, they're programmed to do that. Human beings are not, they have certain programs, but we also have the capacity to work outside of this thing called the program, and that's
mm-hmm.
where freedom comes in. Now, imagination is another distinctly human characteristic. You know, when I ask people what other things are different about human beings, they say intelligence, people have souls. But you know what? You get a pretty good argument from people who love animals about that. But imagination, the capacity to imagine things that don't exist and bring them into existence, is really vital. So this combination of imagination and free will, we really need to understand that. We need to understand that distinction. And if we don't, there are some consequences. I mean, if we don't get our head around those ideas, if we don't understand the significance of free will and imagination in the workplace and how they relate to each other, and here's the key. I've been thinking about imagination and free will for a long time. But here's the thing. I literally, somebody took over my hands as I was typing, and it came out. It says, you know, one without the other is useless, that imagination without free will has no power, and free will without imagination has no purpose.
Mm-hmm.
We need to understand that about people. We need to get tuned into why that's important, and if we don't, you know, I think we're going to continue to put square pegs in round holes, and then we're going to get angry with people when they don't perform the way we want. We'll try to motivate people to do what we want them to do instead of discovering what already motivates them and align their motivation around the needs of the organizations. When employees look like they're resisting change, we're going to interpret it as stubbornness or inflexibility instead of their desire to have a measure of control over their lives. So there's a whole bunch of reasons why we have to understand and respect this capacity for imagination and free will. That's what makes us human beings. And if we undermine that, we undermine their performance, we undermine their engagement.
It truly is an interesting thought. I never really thought to associate that in that manner. But, you know, since we're talking about it, you know, you talk about these very specific ideas. Have you seen any businesses that you think specifically have shown good understanding of employee engagement and understanding the differences between all the abilities and the freedoms that humans have? Have you seen any businesses that really do reflect well with that philosophy?
So, yeah, I mean, and some of them are pretty pretty well publicized. I mean, there's an organization that everybody knows of, Southwest Airlines, right?
Yep.
They're the only profitable airline in the business. They really get it. And is it Virgin Airlines? I think that I've got that correct.
Yeah.
And that's another one, another organization. In fact, I just read an article that the head of that company just talked about the importance of freedom for employees in the workplace. There's a great, great case study of a company down in Springfield, Missouri, called Springfield Remanufacturing Company. And the results have been phenomenal. So there are plenty of case studies out there. And you know, one of the things that I've observed in all of those companies is a few basic things that are really important for this thing that I call trust. I mean, everybody knows that without... Well, I don't know everybody knows this, but I believe that without trust, every single day is a struggle in an organization, no matter what else you got going for you. But with it, decisions and actions are bolder and they're faster, and there's far less struggle in overcoming obstacles that all of us face all the time. And so understanding this connection between imagination and free will and what makes us human and the importance of fostering trust is what's key in all of these organizations that you're talking about. I mean, it starts really with kind of a widely accepted and frankly inspiring set of values and principles. There are lots of different ways to get at those. You know, we've got an assessment tool called a cultural assessment that really looks at what it takes to be a high-performing organization. And then we help organizations, leadership teams, find out what the gap is between where they are and where they want to be.
Mm-hmm.
And then another key part of this whole trust factor is management, what we call management credibility factors. First, the management folks got to demonstrate that they care. No kidding. If you don't start there, nothing else matters. Then they've got to really be honest and open. And even if you're honest and open, if you're not responsive, nobody's going to trust you. So responsiveness is key. And if you have all those other things but you're not competent, you don't know what the hell you're doing, who's going to trust you?
Mm-hmm.
And even if you're competent and you're not reliable, I can't count on you to do what you say you're going to do, how am I going to trust you? And then last, when you mess up on all of those other things, are you able to apologize and be accountable for that? So that's first, management credibility factors. Then you've got to take a look at what we call our people-first systems, policies, and practices.
Mm-hmm.
And they're in five main areas, because you've got to get all of this theory, right? You've got to get all of this theory down to some practical systems and processes, and they fall in five main areas. These are really important. What you measure, so the measurement systems, the rewards and recognition, the communication systems, learning and development, and continuous improvement. All of those really have to be embedded in these principles of imagination and free will, and also an understanding that employees really want to have the right kinds of controls in an organization. It's not that they don't want to have any controls. Some folks think they just want to run wild and take over the asylum. They don't. Employees hate it when there are no controls. They just want to have some say in what those controls are that affect their lives every day and their ability to perform at their best.
Mm-hmm. Les, one last question before we let you go. So if our show does tend to focus a little bit more on college students. Do you have any, advice for an entrepreneur looking to potentially start a business?
Yeah.
From the starting point, where do you have to begin? Which step is most important to get your employee engagement on the positive side mm-hmm. to eventually lead to success for your small business?
Yeah. I'm going to go back to what I just said a moment ago, Sam. Every single time that you sit down with your colleagues, with the people who report to you, always ask yourself this question. What is the effect of what I'm about to do or the decision I'm going to make on the level? Let me put this another way. To what extent is what I'm about to do or the decision I'm going to make going to either diminish or improve the level of trust in this organization? And if you think about that, and if you have that conversation with yourself and with others, and look at some of these kinds of things that I was just talking about, you know, like caring, honesty and openness, responsiveness, always ask yourself that question first. Put it through that filter first, and then put it through the other filters of, is it going to be profitable? Is it the right strategic thing for our organization? Are we going in a direction that employees will support? Always, always, always ask that trust question first, and then you're going to be a good deal of the way down the road to where you need to be successful.
All right, Les Landis joining us here on the program. Les, thank you so much for your time.
My pleasure, Sam. Thanks.